Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'm glad to be here today to share with you from the book of Revelation and chapter 5 as we seek to gaze at the Lord Jesus Christ and fix our focus upon His glory. Revelation 5 is an account of the worship of our Savior in heaven. In chapter 4, there's a door opened into heaven. Always remember that John wrote his gospel, and he tells us the reason: to convince sinners that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. He wrote his epistles, again he tells us why, to confirm saints, to show them how they can know assurance of salvation. But he wrote the book of Revelation to comfort sufferers. The New Testament church was under intense persecution. Some believers were being martyred for their faith. They were in great perplexity. And so John is writing to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the book is Revelation. Literally, the word means unveiling. If you've ever seen the unveiling of a statue, it's very interesting. The crowd are waiting, and then a dignitary will step forward and he'll take the cloth that covers up the statue and he'll pull it away, and the statue is unveiled to the watching throng. John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is pulling back, as it were, a veil. He's taking us right into heaven, and he is revealing or unveiling to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that when reading the book of Revelation. For there are many who get taken up with the minutiae of prophecy and often read things into that are not there, and they forget the purpose of the book. This book is written to comfort suffering Christians, and it is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.'" Amen. With the Bible open before us, can we look to him in a word of prayer, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We rejoice that in this book thou hast revealed the glory of thy beloved Son, our Savior. And we pray now that those believers who are sad and sorrowing may be comforted by seeing Christ. That those who are discouraged may see him as the Almighty One. That any as yet who know not him as personally as their own Lord and Savior may come to see him as the one who can not only save but keep them. And so as we focus on a particular phrase from this chapter, reveal Christ to us for his honor and for his glory. Amen. Names and titles not only reveal the identity of an individual, but they tell us a lot about that person. My name is Ron Johnson. That's the family name that identifies me. But I've had other titles. I've been called husband, dad, granda, brother. I've been called uncle. I've been called at times, depending where I was, as chairman, secretary. So the more names or titles that you find out about me reveals more about who I am and what I have done or do. So when we come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God reveals his glory and beauty and loveliness through various titles and names. And when you get to the book of Revelation, you'll discover that there are many glorious titles and names of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the root of David. He's the Amen. The most frequent title in this book is, of course, the Lamb. The Lamb of God, and how precious that name is to believers. 27 times he's called that. 4 times in the chapter 5, he's called the Lamb. In the first 3 chapters, there's the witnesses of the Lamb, the 7 churches. You will read about the worship of the Lamb, those that make war against the Lamb. And you'll have, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ coming and overcoming those that make war upon him. And the book ends with the wedding of the Lamb. And in chapter 5, you have the Lamb of God depicted. He is described there as having 7 eyes and 7 horns. Of course, he's literally not an actual lamb. This is symbolic. And what it's telling us is that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, we worship him as the one who became the perfect sacrifice. And he shed the blood, his blood, of the perfect Lamb of God to take away our sin. But he's risen again, for he's standing. And in heaven, he's there in the midst of the throne, and he is all-powerful, and he is all-wise. And the crowds there gathered worship him. Through his blood, he has, as verse 9 tells us, redeemed some, not all, but some out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. But the title that I want to focus on is in verse 5. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. John was told not to weep. He was sad because no man was worthy to open the book, to open the seals. But of course, he was told to go, look, the Lamb, the Lion shall do it. But when he turned, he saw a Lamb. Now, Christ is both the Lamb and the Lion. And I want us to think of him pictured as the Lion. Behold, behold, verse 5, the Lion. That reminds us of the praise, the praise. What John is doing is, he's describing a great scene of worship. And he's really saying, if you understand what this title means, then you will want to praise him. Lions down through history have been symbolic of great rulers. Alexander the Great, the pharaohs of Egypt, Roman legions, while they had the eagle, they often also had the lion. In the United Kingdom, the royal family crest has the lion. And we could multiply that with countries and rulers around the world, because the lion is a symbol of authority, glory, majesty, tremendous symbol. And when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ being described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, it causes us to fall at his feet and cry, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And so John is saying to these downcast Christians, many of them persecuted. Maybe their friends have been martyred for the faith. Maybe some expecting to be killed for their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we remember there are those around the world of the household of faith who are persecuted. Those who have been martyred even in recent years for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John is saying, when you're afraid, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But not only does it remind us to praise him, but to understand fully what this means and what John wants us to do to behold him, you need to think of the prophecy that this title fulfills, the prophecy it fulfills. And so we need to go away back in our Bibles to the book of Genesis and chapter 49. Go back centuries before the book of Revelation was written. And in chapter 49 and verse 1, you'll read that Jacob was about to die. And he gathers his 12 sons around his bed. They're down in Egypt. And in verse 1, he tells them what will befall them in the last days. Now, to understand that he is not simply talking to these 12 individuals, he's referring to the future, the descendants. You see, the descendants of these 12 sons of Jacob became what we know as the 12 tribes. And Jacob, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is looking right down through history. And he sees not only what will happen to the descendants, his descendants and the descendants of the 12 sons, but he's also looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob was a believer. He knew the promise that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, would come one day, the seed of woman would bruise Satan's head. He knew the promise given to Abraham, his grandfather, and to Isaac, and also to him, that in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That reminds you of Revelation 5, the four groups that are mentioned. And Jacob begins to bless these 12 sons. But when you get to verse 9, we'll just pick out Judah. Remember, he's the Lion of Judah. And in verse 9, Jacob describes Judah's descendants by the picture of a lion. Verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Jacob is saying, Judah, your descendants are going to be lion-like men and women. It's very befitting that the greatest descendant of Jacob, humanly speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lion of Judah. Because the Lord God, the Son, took a human body and a human nature, and he chose to be born into the tribe of Judah. We're told in the book of Hebrews and chapter 7 and 14, it is evident our Savior sprang from Judah. No wonder he's called the Lion of Judah. In verse 8, his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ is the conqueror. In fact, in verse 8, Judah, your brethren shall praise you. The word Judah means praise. It's a play on words. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy. But you'll notice also in verse 8, there's the idea of him being the leader. He's the one whom thy brethren shall praise. And you know, hundreds of years later, this was fulfilled literally in the tribe of Judah. When they went out of Egypt, over 400 years later, his descendants, the 12 tribes, went out. Judah first, behind their standard. Each tribe had a particular banner or flag or standard. Commentators, many of them believe the standard for Judah had a depiction of a lion. That may or may not be. But Judah first, when the land was divided in Joshua's day, God said, Judah first. When the tribes brought their offerings, Judah first. In the book of Judges, when they were going out to battle, the Lord said, Judah first. So Jacob's prophecy is being fulfilled. He is the leader. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great leader. In Genesis 49 and 10, the Lion of Judah would be a lawgiver. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver until Shiloh come. Shiloh means rest giver. I believe it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob is saying, men from the tribe of Judah will be the leaders, the rulers. Scepter is what a king holds. David, of course, came to the throne, David from the tribe of Judah. and his sons after him. But then the king ceased. But the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? He's the royal king in the line of Judah. He's King of the Jews. He's King of Israel. He's King of kings. He's the righteous king. He's everlasting king. He's King of saints. He's the king. And you have this prophecy here. And then you have the land that they would inherit in verse 11. It speaks about the land Judah would get. Would be a wonderful land full of grapes. It talks about there was vines would be so strong, a donkey could be tied to a vine. Now, that's poetic. If you know anything about grapes, the vine isn't usually very strong. It says there'll be enough grapes to wash your clothes and your garments and the juice of the grape. Now, it's poetic. Yet, of course, it's scriptural. God is teaching a lesson here. And that came true literally. You remember hundreds of years later, two spies went to spy out Canaan, and they brought back what? A large bunch of grapes that had to be carried upon a pole. I like to think it was Caleb and Joshua carried it, but we're not told in Scripture. But we do know this, that was a picture of the fruitfulness of the land. Do you know which tribe, after that time, got that portion of land, Eshcol? The tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. How did Jacob know that hundreds of years before? By inspiration of God. But there's a more significant aspect here. Surely when it refers to the plentiful nature of the blood of the grape, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Scripture, the blood of the grape, as it's called, or grape juice, is taken as symbolic of the blood of our Lord and Savior. And if you look in Genesis and Jacob's prophecy, we see a picture of Christ shedding his blood on Calvary. And Christ overcame as the victor. How? By shedding of his blood, he defeated Satan and sin and won the victory. And we can know salvation. The Lion of Judah, the prophecy. But I want you to think of the term the lion. The lion, that's the picture. We've looked at the praise and the prophecy, but I want you to think of the picture. If you take a concordance, I think you'll be amazed at the scores of times the term lion is mentioned in Scripture. And you can group most of them into three different aspects. Number one, there are many references to the strength of a lion. The strength of a lion. Proverbs 30, verse 30. A lion which is the strongest among beasts. Remember Samson's riddle in Judges 14. The answer was, what is stronger than a lion? You know, when God created the lion, he created a tremendous killing machine. It can be 8 foot long, 600 pounds in weight. I read it can jump 12 feet high, can jump 36 feet long. My jaws can crush the bones of an animal. The strength of a lion, and a lion has been the standard by which strength has been judged. David, in paying tribute and a lament to Saul and Jonathan, said that they were stronger than lions. Stronger than lions. But I think the strength of our Lion of Judah. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, he had the strength and the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He had power to overcome everything. And here's the lesson that John wants them to realize in depicting Christ as a lion. In your problems in life, Christian, when you're feeling discouraged and dismayed, look up, gaze at your Lion of Judah. For the Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again. He has all authority. And one day he's coming with a great shout to destroy all in his and his church's enemies. And so the Lord would say to those persecuted Christians, fear not them that kill the body. But do you know the lion is also used as a picture in many, many references in the Bible for the speech of a lion. What I mean is the roar. I could go, obviously for time we can't, Job, Psalms, various references, Proverbs, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Zechariah, even in Revelation chapter 10. The roar of a lion. I read it can be heard 6 miles away. In Amos chapter 3 and 8, the lion has roared, who shall not fear? Is there anything more bone-chilling than the roar of a lion in the jungle? The voice of God is compared to the roar of a lion. In Amos 1 verse 2, the Lord will roar out of Zion. The book of Hosea 11 and 10, he shall roar like a lion. When he, that's God, shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. Oh, when our King of Kings speaks, he speaks with authority and with power. What a word the Savior has. When the voice of the Lion of Judah roars, every angel rushes to do his bidding, and demons cower before him. If you know Christ as your Savior, I would put to you, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to you in power. We were dead in sins. We were estranged from God. Oh yes, an individual may come of witness to you, or you may have read a tract, a verse of Scripture, but it was Christ speaking to you. Paul, when he went to Ephesus, he preached, and he wrote back to the church in Ephesians 2 and 17, and he said, Christ came and preached peace to you. Our Savior was never literally in the city of Ephesus, but as Paul witnessed, Christ spoke through him. Oh, that Christ would speak with power to those that are still shackled by Satan, and cause them to be set free from the chains of sin. And so as a believer, yes, Satan is depicted as an old lion in 1 Peter 5. But which roar are you listening to? The roar of Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. Christ defeated him in Calvary. Oh, but behold the Lion of Judah and listen to his word. And that'll give you the victory. Yes, the picture of a lion in the Old Testament was for the strength of a lion, the speech or the roar of a lion, but also the sentence. Fierce armies that came against Israel, sent by God to judge Israel because of their sin, are described by the prophets as lion-like. I could turn to Isaiah, various passages, Jeremiah, there are 6 of them. I could turn to other minor prophets, a major prophet, Ezekiel, Joel, the king of Assyria. He was depicted like lions who scattered Israel like sheep. God distinctly said in the prophets, I will send lion-like enemies against you to judge you. And in fact, but in another place, to change the aspect, he said, when the enemy comes, God said, I will be like a lion to defend you. But I'm pointing out the sentence. Do you know in courts of law, to this day, some have depictions of lions? The throne of Solomon, who while he was a king, he was also the judge of Israel and dispensed justice, there were 12 lions carved on the throne. I'm saying that in Scripture, it is often taken a lion as a symbol of judgment and justice. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming one day, and he's passing sentence upon this world. Oh, but one day he shall roar from glory, and he'll come with his great strength. You know, he roared at the beginning when there was nothing, before there was anything that was anything. He roared, and out of nothing he created this world. He just spoke. What a mighty speech. What strength. One day, in John 11, Christ spoke and death gave up Lazarus. I think of another day when the Lion of Judah roared. When as the Lamb of God he shed his blood, and when he had paid the full price of our sins, we read that he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And that cry roared, reverberated round heaven and hell, and still reverberates around this earth. He's finished the work. The praise of the lion. You have the prophecy fulfilled in the title. You have the picture of the lion. Oh, but I want you to think for a moment that people of God are to be like lions. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you realize that Christ is your Lion of Judah and that he is all power and that he has defeated Satan and sin, and Satan can never raise an accusation against you that will stand in glory, for Christ has died for you, then you ought to be Christ-like and go out as lions. You read in the book of Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are bold as a lion. I think of the Apostle Peter. He's more like a pussycat when he ran away from a servant who questioned him. And yet when you get to the book of Acts, oh, like a bold lion, he's standing declaring. How is that? Well, if you've time, you study chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Because when the authorities told the apostles not to preach in the name of Christ again, they went to the church and the congregation prayed to God the Father by faith, give us boldness. And you'll read in verse 31 of chapter 4, God the Holy Spirit filled them with boldness and they spake. But you'll read in verse 13, the enemies took knowledge that they had been with Christ. How? By their boldness. Boldness comes by faith in God the Father, by the fullness of God the Spirit, and by fellowshipping with God the Son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. May God make us bold as lions in this day. And may we have the joy of experiencing a gaze at the Lion of Judah and know that great victory. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Father, we thank thee for the hymn that reminds us, for the Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again. Lord, we thank thee for this picture of our Savior. We praise him. We rejoice in the fulfillment of prophecy. And Lord, in our trials and troubles, may we behold him. But Lord, we pray that we may be empowered to be bold as lions in our witness for him, that we may see many more individuals from every nation upon earth worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. For it's in his name and for his glory we pray this. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.